You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
From the most trusted journalists at Comedy Central, it's America's only source for news. This is The Daily Show with your host, Jordan Klepper.
We got so much to talk about tonight. Florida tells teens to touch grass. The Supreme Court finds out what women want. And Donald Trump just read a book. So, let's get into tonight's headlines, shall we? Let's begin with the ongoing legal woes of America's defendant-in-chief, Donald Trump. Now, Trump has just over a week to come up with a $175 million bond in his real estate fraud case. And if he can't get it from selling shares in his social media company or borrowing from his billionaire friends or teaming up with Giuliani for a sexy car wash, then then this latest very classy business venture just might do the trick.
I'm proud to be partnering with my very good friend Lee Greenwood. Who doesn't love his song, God Bless the USA, in connection with promoting the God Bless the USA Bible? This Bible is the King James Version and also includes our founding father documents, yes, the Constitution, also the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and the Pledge of Allegiance are all part of this. All Americans need a Bible in their home, and I have many. It's my favorite book.
Many? 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 How does that thing not burst into flames immediately, huh? Yeah, Trump is mashing together the Bible and the Constitution like it's a Pizza Hut Taco Bell. And I know people will say that you're not supposed to mix the Bible and the Constitution, but what you have to understand is Trump has never read either of them. If we step back and look at this, Trump getting into business with God can only mean one thing. God is going to end up bankrupt and serving a 3-month prison sentence for lying under oath. I mean, what's amazing about this is that Trump just made $5 billion on his new stock. Buddy, you're not supposed to be doing this embarrassing grifter shit when you're that rich. Just start a private space company like a normal billionaire sociopath. You don't see Elon Musk selling his farts in jars to perverts, do you? No, no. Maybe, maybe. I haven't looked into it. Probably you do. But you know, Let's move on, shall we? Let's move on to the big news of the day. As we've all heard by now, this morning a cargo ship leaving Baltimore crashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge, collapsing the entire bridge into the water. Now, early indications suggest the crash was caused by a power failure on the ship. But that's not going to stop America's professional fearmongers from blaming it on whatever's most convenient to them.
The White House says there are no indications of foul play here. Of course, we're all worried about a potential, you know, terrorist attack, given the wide open border.
You know, I'm no expert on what's going on the seas, but all I would say is that if you talk to employers in America, they'll tell you that filling slots with employees who aren't drug-addled is a very huge problems.
What are we doing to make sure that we have the best infrastructure in the world so that when a ship passes by and clips the bridge, that it doesn't entirely collapse?
Alex Jones tweeting, looks deliberate to me. A cyber attack is probable. World War III has already started.
World War III has already started. But I have Dune tickets this weekend. What, can I at least see it before I enlist in the war? Who are we fighting exactly? Is it boats? Are we fighting the boats? You know what? Doesn't matter. I'll just start shooting. We'll figure it out later. You know, media figures, you are allowed to just say, we're waiting for more information, right? We don't need to fill every moment of uncertainty with bullshit. It might be too early to speculate, but can we prove that this wasn't P. Diddy's getaway sex barge? Stay tuned and find out. Look, of course America's infrastructure is in need of updating, of course. But I don't think this is the proof. Falling down is kind of what you expect a bridge to do when a giant cargo ship slams into it. If your grandma gets body slammed by the rock, you're not gonna blame her broken bones on a calcium deficiency. You're gonna blame it on her not bringing her A-game to the rock. You gotta step it up, Nana. Gotta step it up. Come on. Yes. Finally, in some social media news, if you're a preteen in Florida watching clips of this show on TikTok, you're about to be in a world of trouble.
We turn now to a social media showdown in Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis signing a bill banning children under 14 from having their own social media accounts.
If this law holds, Florida will have one of the most restrictive social media bans in the country. The new measure bars social media accounts for children under the age of 14 and requires parental consent for 15 and 16-year-olds. It also mandates that social media platforms search for and remove the profiles of kids who don't meet the age requirement.
This makes me so mad. This asshole, Ron DeSantis, might have done something I agree with. What does this say about me? I don't know what this says about me. I do think maybe this law isn't a bad idea. I think we can all agree that social media is a nightmare for kids. It increases their risk of depression. It exposes them to predators, it harms concentration, it gives you a wildly unrealistic expectation of how easy it is to prepare meals. Just throw in the potatoes, some scallions, some boiling water, a couple of fast edits, voila, beautiful dinner, and your entire family loves you. You're a great father. No, it's not that easy. It turns out there's a lot of prep work, the videos don't show you that, they gotta blanch the onions, then you gotta julienne the carrots, now it's 10 p.m., your kids are starving, they hate you. Why am I supposed to be doing all the cooking anyway? I was at work all day, I'm not a failure, I'm on TV, goddammit. Hypothetically. The point is, if Florida teenagers are kicked off of their phones, maybe they could focus on all the quintessential experiences of being a teen in Florida. Things like wrestling a gator at prom, or going to the library and reading the four books that are still legal to read, or trying to avoid Matt Gaetz on your walk home from school, you know? Classic Florida teen shit. Honestly, I wish Ron DeSantis had run on this when he was a presidential candidate. This is a much better message than his platform of wearing high heels and smiling like a demon in a horror movie. There's always 2028, Ron. For more reaction on this social media ban, we go to Josh Johnson in Tallahassee. Josh! Okay, Josh. Josh, I'll be honest. I don't hate this bill. I think getting kids off social media will benefit them in all sorts of ways. Cognitive development, better time management, personal skills. It's gonna be great for them.
Yeah, Jordan, I couldn't agree more. And that's the problem, okay? If you kick kids off of social while the rest of us stay on it, you're giving them a competitive advantage. How am I gonna compete against a well-rounded child after social media has already broken me? Have short-term memory loss, bad eyesight, no attention span, crippling anxiety, short-term memory loss. And according to TikTok, all those symptoms mean I might be pregnant.
Okay. Okay. Josh. Come on. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can compete with a 14-year-old.
I can't. I've been staring down at a phone for 20 years. I can't even make strong eye contact. Look.
Stop that. Stop doing that. Please stop. Don't ever do that again, Josh.
I don't know any other way.
Okay. I understand your concern, but you have to admit social media is awful for kids. They just spend all day bullying each other online.
Yeah, I get that. But banning social media won't make the bully energy go away. It'll just redirect it to the rest of us, specifically me. All right, I used to live across from middle school, Jordan. I basically couldn't go outside after 3. I was walking home one day in shorts, and a kid in a wheelchair yelled at me, "Damn, I thought my legs f***ed up."
Okay. Fair, but you are an adult. You can handle a couple of accurate comments, but... There have been conclusive studies that social media lowers kids' self-esteem.
What about my self-esteem? A child said I look like a pedophile merged with one of his victims. And his friend said that they love my performance of Fast Car at the Grammys.
Oh. Yeah, okay, yeah. I guess I can see it.
You want to know what else they said? Because they had more in the chamber.
I don't know what they said. Maybe, nice suit, did it come with a car seat? Or, you're like if Lil Wayne never rapped, or... I didn't know adults came in fun size,
okay,
something like that.
Okay, Jordan, damn, you too?
I'm sorry, it's just easy, okay? So to be clear, you're saying you oppose this bill?
Yes. In fact, it should be mandatory for these kids to be on social media. Every child's face should be glued to a screen to protect us, when we walk home in jorts.
You can't argue with that. Josh Johnson, everybody. When we return, we'll find out how Republicans can get voters back. Don't go away.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to The Daily Show. In the last few years, anti-abortion activists have had a string of successes at the Supreme Court. But today, it appears that their winning streak might be in jeopardy.
The Supreme Court today appeared likely to preserve access to mifepristone, the medication used in nearly two-thirds of abortions last year. During oral arguments this morning, court watchers say a consensus seemed to develop among the justices that the abortion opponents who filed suit lacked the standing to sue. Now, if that stands, it would allow patients to receive the drug by mail order without a doctor's visit.
That's right. Looks like women in red states can still get an abortion as long as they can sneak in a pill through the mail. success. Maybe women have too many rights now. I don't know. Even if the abortion pill survives this time, it's clear that women's reproductive health will be under threat for a long time, which presents a big problem for Republicans, who are trying to figure out how to win over women voters while taking their rights away.
The Republicans do have a woman problem. What do they need to do to message to those folks better?
A brand new strategy memo circulating at the House GOP's policy retreat recommending that members express empathy for women.
Express empathy. Okay, novel idea. Let's keep brainstorming.
Republicans need to learn how to talk about abortion in a way that is going to appeal to suburban voters, single mothers, married mothers, women across the political spectrum.
Yes, be as appealing as that guy. Okay. Good notes, these are good notes. These are very good notes. Yes. Achievable, I think. Yes. Okay. Any other breathtakingly obvious suggestions?
What do you think the Republicans need to do with their abortion messaging?
Well, I think it's their overall message in general. You got to talk directly to the people. You got to give and take on some issues. Mm-hmm. It looks like the majority of Americans don't like the rape and incest thing.
Right. Yeah. Right. I almost forgot. The majority of Americans don't like the rape and incest thing. Right. It's amazing what the polling shows. Well, here's a humble suggestion. Maybe one way to win over women is not to talk about rape and incest like it's a menu item you forgot the name of. Oh, we went to that cute place and we had the, what was it, the rape and incest thing, you know, with the phyllo dough crust. So good. But obviously, if Republicans want to get the support of women, they could focus less on tweaking their messaging and just, I don't know, give women their rights back. Not that complicated. That's an idea I have. But maybe it's gonna take extreme measures for Republicans to realize that.
Meet Senator Tim Greco. He likes fast cars, sexy women, and abortion bans with no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother.
The ayes have it, total abortion ban.
He thought he had politics all figured out.
Our poll numbers with women are just tanking. That just doesn't make any sense.
They're probably just mad they suck at sports.
Kobe!
Until one day.
I'm gonna go jack off in the breastfeeding room.
A freak jacking off accident transformed him.
It's killing me.
Into the one thing his political party couldn't understand.
Whoa. I'm a woman.
I'm gonna barf.
This November.
It's not the flu.
You're pregnant.
I can't be pregnant. It's Thirsty Thursday. Isn't there some kind of a medical procedure I could get?
You mean an abortion?
No, God, no. No, I mean like a medical procedure.
Not in this state. Thanks to that law Tim Greco just passed.
Shouldn't have made that sign so specific.
The inspirational story of one Republican.
Boss, it's me, Tim Greco. I got turned into a pregnant woman from a magical breast pump on my penis.
I believe you. To continue.
I know what women voters want. Legalized abortion.
Greco, that's a good one.
Hey, does this mean, since you're a lady now, that I could have sex with you?
No. Maybe.
And what it's probably going to take to make Republicans realize what women voters actually want.
Women voters want access to abortion. You know, like before.
Or maybe women voters want trans people banned from working in sandwich shops.
I'll write that down.
Hey, now that you're a woman, can we maybe...
Ew.
No.
Maybe.
What women voters want. coming to theaters this fall.
When we come back, Jim Sciutto will be joining me on the show. Don't go away.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to The Daily Show. My guest tonight is a CNN anchor, chief national security analyst, and best-selling author whose latest book is called The Return of Great Powers, Russia, China, and the Next World War. Please welcome Jim Sciutto. Powers, Russia, China, and the next world war. What are we talking? Is this going to be a cold war, a hot war?
It's an uplifting story, you know, something to relax on a Sunday afternoon.
It's a lovely read that I read to my kid, just to scare him to do better in school, to be honest.
It's a warning, right? And I've spent a lot of years in these places tracking these things, which I think we have to be concerned about. Mm-hmm. So it's meant to be a warning, and I think it's a serious one. But I also think going into it, we, that is the people who want a world not run by autocrats, right? And not
which
invaded,
is about half of us,
which is,
baby.
Yeah, more, maybe even more. We have some advantages going into it, right? So I direct over time to ways that we could find a way forward, right? Avoid the next world war, but also come out on top with the things that we hold valuable.
It provides in some ways a blueprint to get past that, but also looks back as to how we've gotten where we are right now. You're focusing a lot about where we are in this moment with Ukraine.
Yes.
Talk about where we are with China. You call this a post-Cold War moment. How do you draw that line from the Cold War to the post-Cold War?
So, you know, for my generation, and you're younger than me, but still.
20s, max.
We remember that moment. We remember that night, fall of the wall, 1989, fall of the Berlin Wall, collapse of the Soviet Union. This was, we thought, bringing about a period of peace, and it did for a time, right? I mean, mm-hmm. the Cold War was over, and for a very brief moment in time, the U.S. and Russia, if not friends, found a way to go forward. And with China, even as it was growing more powerful, we thought that Russia and China, that we could work with them all the time. I mean, there's mm-hmm. still ways we could work with them, but we thought that they wanted what we wanted, right? We were mirroring to some extent. And the truth is, they don't really want what we want to a large degree, because they see, and to be fair, they're seeing this from a different perspective, they see our world order mm-hmm. as being to our advantage and not theirs. Mm-hmm. So they see it as in their interest to make America weaker and to undermine that system. Now, to be clear, when I talk to folks in Europe, in Asia, here in the U.S., they don't believe that China and Russia want to go to war with mm-hmm. us, right? There are smart enough people to know that would be a horrible war, to be a hot one. That said, they're willing to push the limits pretty far. I mean, and one that we saw just in the last few years, right, is the largest invasion, the largest land war in Europe in 80 years, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a pretty big deal. Yeah. And that shows how far they're willing to push the limits. Well,
you wrote this book, obviously, before the terrorist attacks in Russia just a week ago. I'm wondering how you see an attack like that affecting some of these pathways.
Well, listen, post 9/11, that was a period when the U.S. and Russia actually worked together on terror. They were sharing information and so on. And it showed that there are times that you have shared interests, and that's a good thing. And there are other things, too. The U.S. and China actually at times work together on climate change. That's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. But a whole host of things that we don't work together on or like at loggerheads on. That period with Russia has certainly ended to the point where the reporting is that the U.S. actually warned Russia that an attack like this was in the offing, and Putin basically ignored that warning. You know, that's partly a lack of trust, which is important. It's partly a lack of communication, that those channels just aren't open anymore. So that's a sign of one of the dangerous trends here, is that we don't talk in ways that we used to. Mm-hmm. And I'm not necessarily talking about happy talk, right? But we don't have hotlines open that we used to, which are important to keep small things from becoming bigger things.
Yeah.
And those hotlines developed because in the last Cold War, we got really damn close, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think of the Cuban Missile Crisis, right? I mean, that was very, and I talk about this in the book because it's about learning lessons from history as well. But that came close to a global nuclear war. And after that, folks like Kennedy and Khrushchev said, we got to find ways that doesn't happen. We don't get that close here. Let's have hotlines. Let's negotiate some nuclear treaties, et cetera. And the thing is, we have to get back to that point because right now we're going this way. We're not going this way.
I mean, it's interesting. You do talk a lot about that. You have to keep these lines of communication open. And you also have a chapter, or you look at this madman theory. Donald Trump brags about the relationship that he has with Vladimir Putin. He brags about what he did with Kim Jong-un. And I think on one hand, you can see through what that means and what he wants from that. On the other hand, he's talking about legitimate connections. You actually even talk about some of the successes Trump had with his relationship with Kim Jong-un. And this madman theory, in some sense, of being so big, so braggadocio, that tactically, that sometimes can be beneficial in ways that other tactics can't.
True. Listen, opening channels is not a bad thing, right? You know, sitting down with Kim Jong-un is not a bad thing, or with Putin or Xi. We have to be talking. That's better than not talking, because when you don't talk, I mean, that's true in relationships as well, right? When you don't
Jim,
talk,
stay focused.
Small things.
Jim, we got to stay focused. You're here to talk about the book, Jim. Talk about the Cold War and the next war, all right?
You got to talk. Talking is not bad, but you also have to have realistic expectations. So Trump had three face-to-face meetings with Kim Jong-un. Went nowhere, right? There were no agreements. But sheer force of personality is not going to change their long-term interests. The worrisome thing, right, is that for Russia and China, these are strategic decisions to undermine the U.S. and the system as it stands today. Again, because they look at it as aligned against them, kind of skewed against them. So the strongest personality in the world is not going to change long-term strategic interests, right? And if Trump imagines, as he does, and by the way, don't trust me, I talked to folks who advised him at the most senior levels in his last administration. If Trump believes by his personality alone, he's going to fundamentally change that dynamic, it just doesn't line up with reality, right? Doesn't mean talking is a bad idea, but you have to know who you're dealing with here. And you have to know what they're seeking to do. And you have to be clear to say, I'm not going to let that happen.
Yeah. You talked to a lot of Trump insiders here. I think something that stood out in reading this was we'd heard stories about Trump's desire to pull out of NATO. And I think you kind of walked through how close that was to becoming a reality. And what I find compelling, like, that's a big issue right now. And I will say, when I go out and I talk to people at MAGA events, you know, there's an isolationist attitude, to say the least. but I do think a lot of people don't. When you bring up something like NATO, the idea of pulling out of NATO is a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. We want to be to ourselves. That's it doesn't serve us doesn't do us any good. And I will also say, as a younger generation, as somebody who's 24, as you pointed out, the conversation in my school about the Cold War was short. our understanding of NATO, we don't have. We are so disconnected from the realities of what that was created for that I think like the discussions we're having right now about the importance of NATO are falling on deaf ears on one party and one candidate, but also on deaf ears on, I think, an electorate that isn't educated in history in a way to understand what NATO is supposed to do. Is this also a crisis of education?
100%. I mean, you know as well as me that the baseball bat doesn't work, right? When you're trying to convince people of the importance of these things or how it's served our interests over time, you have to just remind people and make an argument as to what we gain from it. I mean, I think when you look at a place like Ukraine, so Ukraine is a country of 40 million. It's the largest country in Europe. I've spent a lot of time there. They're lovely people, right? They don't want much more than what we have, which is to be able to choose your own leaders, travel where you want to go, and not get dumped off of building balconies, right? If you write a critical piece about the person in charge of the country, I might be speaking about how Russia, you know, what life is like in Russia today. Sure. That's the way it is. They don't want that. They don't want to live under that. So you have a sympathetic case mm-hmm. as to why to help these people or why to help the Taiwanese people defend themselves from China. But then you have a self-interested case, which is that, you know, NATO has stood by the U.S. The only time NATO has invoked its mutual defense agreement was post 9/11. And they went to war with us in Afghanistan post 9/11. So you have that. But also a peaceful Europe that is free from Russian domination is in our interest. It's a vibrant Europe. It's an economically healthy Europe. We sell a lot of stuff there. We could go do business there. We could send our kids to semesters abroad there, that kind of thing. Things we buy are cheaper here because it's peaceful there. And you could say the same thing about Asia. You know, half the stuff in our homes comes through shipping lanes in Asia, which the U.S. helps keep open. So you have both a sympathetic case to make for this kind of thing and a values case, but you also have a self-interested case. Because we benefited from that for years, and not just since the last Cold War, but even going back to like 80 years ago, post-World War II, that NATO and other treaties helped keep the peace pretty much. It's not perfect, but they did prevent so far, right, you know, the next World War. Mm-hmm. That's important. We benefit from that.
You talked about this not just being a donor. But there is a blueprint for some optimism there. Yeah. Where do you see that?
So a couple things. One, like, we don't want to look at them as 10 feet tall, Russia or China. They make mistakes, right? I mean, prior to the Ukraine invasion, you probably heard this too. A lot of folks were like, Putin's way too smart to do mm-hmm. that. He's playing three-dimensional chess with the West, all that kind of stuff. He would never do it. Lo and behold, he invades.
I also think nobody knows how chess works.
Exactly. The way
people use that metaphor. It's like, we don't really have a good understanding of that.
My 8-year-old daughter beats me at chess. So I'm with you.
Stay focused, Jim. Stay
focused. You know, they make mistakes too. And he got himself in a horrible war, which, you know, he's effectively losing, right? And China makes mistakes as well. And its economy is, you know, it's definitely flattening out. This idea that China is going to be growing forever. They've got weaknesses as well. So you want to start with, we have advantages. The U.S. economy is growing. You know, we have an open society. People buy and want to buy American stuff, mm-hmm. right? They don't want to buy Russian cell phones, right? You know, we there's a reason for that, right?
I haven't tried one. I'd try one out. Sure.
They might blow up. So we have advantages in that sense. We have a lot of friends and allies. One thing, when you look at Russia and China, they don't have allies. I mean, Russia's biggest allies right now are China, North Korea, and Iran. I mean, we have all of Europe mm-hmm. in effect on our side with shared values. So we have advantages going in. And then in terms of how to find a path so that we don't go to war. I mean, if people ask me this, they're like, well, sounds like you're making the case to go to war against Russia and China. And I always say to them, I said this before we came on, I've got a 13-year-old and a 15-year-old boy. They're like a minute away from draft age. And I'm sure folks in the audience who have kids think the same thing. You don't want them on a U.S. aircraft carrier in the Taiwan Strait if the U.S. and China were to go to war. I don't want that either. But we can learn from history here, right? One thing is communication lines matter. There's a reason why Kennedy and Khrushchev were like, we got really close. Mm-hmm. I got to have a phone on my desk. You got to have a phone on your desk so this doesn't happen again. Those things have faded over time. And with China, in a lot of respects, we haven't had them. They've come and gone when relationships have gone up and down. So communication matters. Treaties matter. You know, we negotiated those nuclear arms treaties, again, to keep the U.S. and Russia from going to war and kind of like just beating each other to death in a nuclear arms race. A lot of those treaties have gone away in the last several years. And there are Americans who are like, we don't need those treaties. Well, actually, they kind of help, right? And we have no treaties with China when it comes to nuclear weapons. There are no treaties regarding cyber weapons. There are no treaties regarding weapons in space. I mean, Russia just, you know, probably saw our story a few weeks ago, talked about putting a nuke in space to knock out satellites, which, by the way, just so you know, if you think about this war being a million miles away from us, you know, with cyber attacks or with attacks in space, we lose all the technology we depend on every day. GPS and communications and internet and the financial market stop. So, you know, this stuff affects us at home. Yeah, we need treaties for that stuff.
We were heading to the good news, and you just
exactly,
mentioned you mentioned a nuclear weapon in space.
This is why my kids love talking to their dads. This is what I bring home. But the final thing is that you can, with those treaties, they can help. They can help this going down a bad path. And the final thing is that communicating what you want stand, won't stand for matters, right? I mean, if you look, I speak a lot to the Estonian prime minister here. Estonia is like right on the front lines of this, right next to Russia. And she constantly quoted Churchill about Hitler, which is an appeaser is the one who feeds the crocodile expecting that he'll be its last meal. The thing is, the parallels between a Hitler and a Putin is that if you give a little ground, he tends to take more. You know, he took a piece of Georgia in 2008, then he took Ukraine in 2014, then invaded again. That clear communication, and we learned this from Hitler, you know, if you are soft and don't tell them what's too far for you, they might then take advantage and move forward. So the U.S., I think, and its allies can be confident and say, we're not going to allow you to invade countries because borders matter to us and they're our friends and we're going to stand in the way and the costs are going to be high for you. That doesn't necessarily mean We're going to take you to war by any means, but that we defend our friends and we're going to be strong. And those messages matter over time. And if you look back, sometimes clear messaging can prevent miscalculation and can prevent the guy on the other side thinking he could take advantage of you.
Well, it's a great read. The Return of Great Powers, available now. Be sure to check out CNN Newsroom on Max. Jim Sciutta.
Thanks so much.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back right after this.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
That's our show for tonight. Now, here it is. The moment is in.
Religion is so important. It's so missing, but it's going to come back, and it's going to come back strong, just like our country is going to come back strong. In the end, we do not answer to bureaucrats in Washington. We answer to God in heaven. Christians are under siege. We must protect content that is pro-God. We love God, and we have to protect anything that is pro-God.
Explore more shows from the Daily Show podcast universe by searching The Daily Show wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.